Hello, you are listening to Linda Sims. The name of this program is called A Voice of a People, and you are on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. And you can also call into the station while we are on live by calling 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or comments or would like to touch bases with my guest or myself, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, Marion, Ohio, 1325 North Main Street, telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministry, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement every second Saturday of every month at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. The time will be 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that's every second Saturday of every month. Fresh produce. No appointment or pre-registration needed. All you need to do is show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. Solutions to problems. In order to find solutions, it is important to improve the quality of my thinking. I need to calm my mind by creating peaceful thoughts. The first thing that follows is that problems stop affecting me. I am able to think more clearly, which brings about a solution. And what do you think about that? My guest today is Marie Harrington, and she has her husband has a prison ministry at our Marion Correctional Institution here in Marion, Ohio. How are you today?
I am wonderful, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm getting hot. Heated. You know what I mean?
At least you have an extra jacket on. Yes. You can change out of it.
Yes.
I'm going to sit in my sweatshirt and sweat.
The weather is changing. Praise God.
Yep. Right? I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Yes, I am. But yes, we have a prison ministry. It's called Freedom Under the Eagle's Wings Ministries. And we go in on Monday nights under Reverend Cola at Marion Corrections right now. And we've been doing it for about 9 years, but we didn't start our ministry till a couple years ago.
Okay.
And anybody wants to write us about that ministry can reach us in P.O. Box 401 here in Marion, Ohio, 43302. And we cannot take messages to the inmates or anything of that nature. We cannot make any type of communication in that way. But if they are interested in prison ministry or in being able to help us, let's say, provide once a quarter or once a year in some way. I like to do like a movie and some treats or something of that nature whenever it's possible for the fellows that come into my ministry on Monday nights. Of course, we get three times the people that we never see again until the next time around, but that's okay. You're still planting a seed.
Right.
So that's the purpose of our ministry, is to plant seeds, help heal hearts. And besides the prison ministry, we also go into nursing homes.
Okay.
So if someone has a loved one in a nursing home that they can't get to go and visit because they're from out of the area, mm-hmm. happy to do so. anything of that nature within the Marion area. And we hope to be expanding now that my husband's a retiree from the state government's employ. He worked at the prisons.
Okay.
So,
all right. So do you like that ministry? Why do you think God called you to that specific ministry?
I was telling the guys last night, I don't know how I ended up in this ministry. My husband always wanted to be a police officer. He was a saw operator for a steel mill.
Okay.
Always was interested in law and order. He had been a volunteer fireman many, 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 many years. And he said to me one day when he came home from work, he said, you know, I've always wanted to do this, and I saw this ad in the paper. And I said, what's that? He said, for a corrections officer for the state of Ohio. I said, is that something you want to do? He says, yeah. And truthfully, what he said was, I'm probably too dumb to do it. I said, no, you're not.
Right.
If
right.
this is something you want to do, you step up and you pursue it.
Right.
So he pursued it. And he got in, and the first time they called him and they said that they had an appointment for him and that they were hiring him and they had a place for him to go, he asked for Lima because he knew Lima.
Okay.
And they sent him to Marion. And truthfully, he said, we're in a hay is Marion, Ohio. And we had to pull out a map to find Marion, Ohio, because we've never been here until that time. And he started his training, and when he had... Part of his training was done as what is known as, used to be known as the camp here.
Yes. Yes.
Which is now NCCI.
Right.
And for his time that he got his certification, I'm going to be a good wife, I'm going to go back him. And I went in and I went through those doors. And when I went through those doors, my heart sunk down into my toes like everybody's does.
Yes.
But the oddest thing was, even though I was walking through their open campus, I had no fear. I had no fear. So I began going to Marion Corrections programs because I love it when the guys have the programs that we can go in for, you know, that they open to the public for Christmas and Easter.
Okay.
So started going there, and then I was introduced to the Reverend Cola.
Okay.
And he just looked at me. He said, you're supposed to be in here. I said, I am I? And I sat next to him, and we were doing song and praise. He said, would you come back on a special that I'm having? I said, sure. So I went in for the special, and I just sat there as a prayer warrior, you know, praying and singing. And he looked at me. He goes, I need you to take another step. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into it.
Okay.
So I went to the Lord, and I said, is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, did I not open the door?
Yes, he did.
So he opened the door. And I keep, you know, truly, I have times where I sit back and I say, why am I doing this?
Right.
Why, Lord, am I doing this? I mean, it is amazing whenever you're on the road to what you're supposed to do.
Right, right.
How much comes against you?
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's bad enough trying to get to church on a Sunday or to, you know, your school on Wednesday night in your devotion time. But every time you get ready to go and do any ministry, it's like all of a sudden your stomach's hurting, your head's hurting, your body's hurting. And it's like, no, I bind this in the name of Jesus. Yes. I have to get this done. And you got to persevere through.
Yes, you do.
You know, but it can be very frightening. And you wonder, why am I putting myself through this? And in truthfulness, there's only one reason. Only one. My Jesus took so much more than I can ever take.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it for my salvation and because he loves me. So if I can't take an ouch and an ooch and keep on a going, then why am I here?
Right, right, absolutely. Last week I had an attack also. It was like there was lead here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one side of me was falling forward. And I'm thinking, what is that? You know?
Mm.
Even your light is presented before other people when you appear. Even that alone is a ministry. You don't really even have to say anything, but the enemy wants to stop you from going and doing and saying and
that's
helping
true.
And giving that word just sharing the peace that
that
we
you carry
have, right? And
yeah.
that we do have. Even that's a testimony and a witness to other people, because then they wonder, well, there was something different about that person, you know.
Yeah.
And he attacked me. He just really did.
Yeah.
And then it left, and then all of a sudden, it came back. Like, oh no, God didn't heal that. He didn't do that.
Yeah, come on now, yeah, talk about how that liar lies.
That liar.
That's that liar lying at you.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, we do have to use wisdom and ask the Lord, okay, do I need to go tend to this?
Right.
You know, don't be foolish. Nobody needs to be foolish. We believe in healing. We believe in the laying on of hands. We believe
we
in those things.
Yes, we do.
Because we know they're true, and His word never comes back void, and it's in His word. So
yes,
we know it's there.
It's there.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that He hasn't put hands in the physician's world.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That are trained to assist us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that would be the most important thing to remember for your overall health. I never say to someone, well, just because I prayed on you doesn't mean you should see your doctor. I say, I prayed on you, come back and let me know that your doctor told you you're healed.
True.
You know, and I've seen a lot of people healed.
Oh, yes.
You know. But that's the ones that,
right.
Yeah, it's the ones that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Strong faith,
mm-hmm.
strong belief
mm-hmm.
is what's going to bring you your healings.
That's true. So true.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Your time in prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
Supplication.
Mm.
Worship.
Since you said that word, what is supplication? And people wonder,
We're
in supplication. What does that mean?
Apparently the Lord wants us out, so here we go.
Yes.
Supplication is when you humble yourself completely before the Lord. You are supple. You are releasing yourself to Him so that He can work in you,
mm-hmm.
so that He can change you, so He can do the things He needs to do to make you stronger so that
right.
He can heal you, so He can take you to your next level. Because
yes.
everybody's on different levels.
Oh, yes.
And we're constantly climbing. They say it's like climbing a ladder, you know, constantly working on the next step with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, to me, one of the most important things, because I work with men that are on the very bottom rung of a ladder because they just got introduced to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I have men that have been walking with Jesus for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But even walking with Him for 30 years, they don't know the precious love of the Holy Spirit, and they don't know the gift of tongue. And that is an edifying, uplifting, strengthening gift not to be afraid of. And I believe it's either Acts or
Acts 2:38.
Yeah, Acts mm-hmm. 2:38 is where it speaks of it. So it's not something man's being made up. This is a spiritual language that you can communicate to God with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always for interpretation.
It's a gift.
It is a gift mm-hmm. given to you. And I really feel strongly that it's important for people to lose their fear of this precious gift, because that's one of the biggest things the liar comes after us with, is that we are weird, we're odd, we're devil-filled. We're not devil-filled, we're not weird, we're not odd. We are carriers of the Holy Spirit, and with that Spirit, the words that we can speak by tongue, we don't even understand half the time. And that's
true.
Because they are to ward off something that's getting ready to happen to you,
mm-hmm.
something that is currently happening to someone else somewhere else,
true.
You know, something that's in the future.
Right, it's not always about us.
It's not always about us.
No.
You know, and the Lord, once you take that on and you say, yes, Jesus, I've given myself totally to you.
Right.
I have been in supplication. I have laid before you,
mm-hmm.
and I've given myself to you, Lord. Then He may call you at 2 a.m. He may call you at 3. He may call you at 12 in the afternoon to get on your knees and pray,
yes.
or just begin to pray wherever it is you are.
That's true.
And that, what an honor.
Yes, it is an honor.
What an honor.
And when you brought up the Holy Spirit and people having fear of speaking in tongues, they even fear the Holy Spirit, because, like you said, they look at us like we're crazy. What are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Spirits, okay. And the first thing they think, demons.
Right.
Demons have spirits.
But he's not a ghost. Like
no.
They called Him the Holy Ghost in the old days,
Spirit,
but
yes.
we call Him Holy Spirit now.
Right, right.
But it's not the kind of ghost that people think. It's not Casper. He's not Casper. No, he is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. And we all know the one true God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And the joy of that is knowing that the Father in heaven can be communicating to you through the Spirit that is in you. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross.
Amen.
And his awakening for his resurrection. There's just so much put into that package, and Father God orchestrated it all from the beginning of time.
Yes, yes, he did. For sure, for sure. And as we are talking about that, and we're going to go back to the prison reform or the changing of the criminal justice system, I think that's on, not display, but it's being talked about and thought about, like you said,
yes.
locally, stately, and nationally.
Yes.
And what, have you spoken to any of the inmates out where you minister, and what is their, what are they looking forward to getting out of this or hoping for?
When you say hoping about for the, subject, yes. about this particular subject, yes. about reform,
yes.
Those that are in there for very small, and I mean there are small issues such as missed payments for alimony. Mm-hmm. It's not small for the person that's missing the alimony, but it's a small issue to put somebody in jail for and have them not be able to work to get that alimony out.
Right.
For the person who has had one or two offenses and got caught with too much marijuana or right. something of that nature, they should be in programs that will help them. And there are programs in the system that do it and will break them of it, but they have to be taught why right. they need to be broken from it. Or they'll go right back
good
to
question.
It. Why is always a good question. Why did this happen to you? Where was your head when this happened to you?
Right.
You know, what was your thought process then? You obviously weren't walking with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You weren't walking with the knowledge of God because you weren't opening the Word. And if you were opening the Word and you were studying the Word and walking in the Word of God, then you wouldn't have broke those kinds of laws. They're in the Ten Commandments for the get-go.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, people are people.
People are people, and we are flesh and bone.
Not, yeah, we're not perfect.
And we are not perfect, and we will never be perfect until the Lord takes us up into the heavens and gives us our perfection through his righteousness.
Yeah.
But the guys, I think what they want to see, I hate to say it, but some of them, they want to see a way out.
Of course.
But I don't want to see a way out. I want to see a way of healing. Many do want to see a way of healing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Last night when I was with them, my teaching was more on what happened to your vision. We all were given visions throughout our lives, whether we recognize them or not.
True.
And I've got some fabulous guys in there that get together, and they're singing my praise group right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're different than the praise group I had before. My leads, one left, and then the other lead got very, very ill, unfortunately, and he's not made it back in yet. He's still in hospital. So these fellows were so good to step up and step in. And they are gospel. Oh, they are gospel.
Okay.
And they are amazing. And I said to them last night, what happened to your vision? You're all good enough that you should be on a record label.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be sitting in a place like this rotting away, okay?
Right.
They are that good. And
well, there are many talents behind
Well, there's wonderful
doctors,
artists,
yes,
and
artists.
There's many lawyers now, and,
yes,
you know.
And doctors, and it's just...
And many of them are learning.
Yes.
They're getting their degrees there. They're getting training there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them go into ministry from there.
Good.
So, you know, they're actually going for their pastorates. Several of them are.
Yes.
So we are making a difference here in Ohio, at least at Marion Corrections,
mm-hmm.
with these different programs that have been in place for quite a while now. The guys, they don't want to be in there any longer than they have to be. And some of the different sentencing is so way off base from where it should be.
That's where the reform comes in.
That's where the reform's going to come in.
Yes, and changing that around because, like you say, a lot of people are in there for child support. Now, how can I, if I can sentence a person to go to prison for not paying child support, why can't I sentence this person to go to work?
That's right. You have to, that's exactly what we need. Other states, a couple of them, have workforces.
Right.
And the workforces is where they have to report. If they don't report, then they end up in jail.
Right.
Well, that would make a lot more sense. And I think that Mr. DeWine is having the people that are involved in the state prison system look at these things. Mm-hmm. He's got quite a few things going on. I haven't had a chance to read these articles, but if anybody's been reading the Marion Star or the Columbus paper, they will find many, many articles lately like you've never seen before about the prisons.
Let me look at a couple.
Last time I was here, I talked about, that's the county one. I talked about the fact that our president kicked this off the first year that he took office, and he asked that the government begin to look at their sentencing policies and to begin to let that trickle down to the state so that people would be healed rather than sealed in a box somewhere. He wants to see families brought back together. It makes sense. If you have a family broken, then that broken family is not going to find the ability to heal if he's in one place and she's in another and the kids are somewhere else.
True.
We need to be able to bring these families back together, so we have to get them back into a working location, into healing programs for their lives, for whatever their addictions are, whatever the issue is. Now, no, we cannot do that with a murderer. No.
That's different.
That's a different situation.
That's a violent crime.
That's a violent crime. We're not talking violent crime. He's talking reasonable sentencing. That's very important. I noticed that our county, that's, I think, from today's paper, today's or yesterday's, the county is looking at some adjustment to their jail time, I believe, and how they handle those that are offenses. We're on overload. We're on overload in our county jails. We're on overload in our state jails. You know,
that's what I'm looking at, this article here. Local officials are exploring ways to relieve overcrowding at the jail, including a possible expansion,
right,
and pressure from a Marion County judge.
Right.
The multi-county correctional center, the 202-bed jail shared between Marion and Hardin counties, has been beset by overcrowding for years, but has reached what a local judge called a crisis point in recent months.
Yes.
So they have to come up with another solution.
Well, one of the solutions they had come up with was, well, gee, we'll find another county we can share with. Well, I don't see how that's going to help us any.
No, it's not.
You know, but that was just like a quick solution because it takes time to add an addition to the building before they can put people out in it. And really, this sounds absolutely ridiculous, but what really needs to happen is people have to wake up, look and know that we are in the end times, find Jesus Christ, begin to change their ways so that they don't have to go to jail.
That's true.
You know,
I
got a call from a friend recently. She says, can you please go and pick up this young woman? I've been trying to help her through some issues. She said, and I can't believe that she called me from jail. She hasn't called me in 4 months, but she called me from jail because she needs to get out. And I said, now, wait a minute. And I'm sorry, I'm not cold-hearted here.
True.
4 months she's not talked to you. She says that you're her mentor, but she hasn't called you in 4 months. Mm-hmm. She needs help and wants somebody to come bail her out.
True.
And you're going to go?
Yeah.
Well, no, I can't go. Is it possible you can go get her for me? If you insist as a special friend, I would do it for you, but I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong because this is someone who consistently does the same thing. She hasn't learned, and we're talking female,
yeah,
has not learned, and I feel the same way for the men.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I kind of...
I mean, you got to have...
Look at it, yeah.
Each case is an individual.
Yes, and you're still hoping and believing that that person will eventually change, that, you know, if I can... at least get the word to her and continuously tell her, like you saying, what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, you know, and about His mercy and about His grace, you know, and He's not standing over you trying to beat you over the head with a gavel like
right.
you do in the courtroom, you know. He is forgiving and loving, but you got to want it.
We've got to want it. And when someone has been giving it to you freely and trying to reach out to you and help you, and then you just decide, no, I ain't going to mess with that, and you go in the other direction.
He's merciful.
He's merciful, but you can't be merciful but so many times. How are you going to get the point across?
I don't know.
The only way you get the point across is say, hey, I'm sorry, this time.
Yeah.
You got to sit through it.
True. You can do that, too.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, sometimes.
Just like when you have a child move in and they become a persistency, as much as you love them, are you really helping them?
No.
You know, teach them to fish.
Right.
You know, don't throw the fish on the plate, right?
And they can feed themselves that way, yes.
Yeah, so we have to, we really have to weigh these things out on an individual case with all that we know. You can't just assume.
No, you can't. You cannot assume.
Because you can have someone that's been in there and put in there 6-7 times, and now all of a sudden the light goes on, hey, I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that person you can help. Once they are willing to give of themselves to the change, mm-hmm. preferably through Christ, because that's the most everlasting change, but some will give themselves to the world for change.
Right.
And if they buy in and they say, that change is going to help me, and I'm going to go forward from here, and I'm not going to go backward anymore.
You know, what you just said made me think of a program I watched this morning on Joni Lamb on Daystar.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this expert guy on there. And he was, the theme of the show is, I married a boy and not a man.
Mm. Okay.
Because you have men, 50, 60, 70 years old, who have not taking on the responsibility of being a man, and they're still boys and they're still throwing temper tantrums and they're still going around in this cycle and this circle, but they want more, but they don't want to man up
mm-hmm.
to get more.
That's right.
So, and that kind of makes me think of some men behind bars. They're still boys. They haven't grown up. They may have received Christ, but they're not receiving what Christ is giving them and offering them in the Word of God. And you got to be in your Word.
That's part of an immaturity.
Immaturity.
It is an immaturity.
Well, 70 years old and you're not ready?
Oh, that's right. Because during your upbringing, somewhere along the road, someone always, I called it namsy-pamsy. They, you know, they kind of namsy-pamsy'd you. They took care of you. They took care of all of your needs, all of your problems. And when they didn't, you managed to slide your way through. So you slid through, and now you're sliding again.
Wow.
Well, I stayed alive another night. Let's just keep on rolling here, you know. No, you've got so much more.
Cut it somewhere.
You
right?
got to cut it somewhere, and you got to start looking for a vision for your life.
Yes, you do. And I want to read this here, since that popped up like it did. Relationships with parents. And that is the beginning.
Yes, it is the beginning. And it's tough when you only have one parent versus two.
And it's tough, but mm-hmm. it's not impossible.
No, it's not.
Hear, my son, your father's instructions if he's around, or an uncle.
But you hear, you understand what father they're talking about there.
Yes, up above.
That's right.
And do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around about your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they're always there pacifying you, and not you see no, not just judgment or repercussions for what you've done. You know, and you take your mother for granted because she's there pacifying you, patting you on your head. then you feel like, okay, I just keep on walking. I just keep on doing it because here come mom, or I get in trouble school. Here's mom telling the principal off, telling the teacher off. That's my son. You don't do this way, or you don't chastise him. I don't chastise him at home. So then we're on another vein. Instruction can come from anyone.
But it should come from the parents.
It should come from the parent, but if not.
Our world, you know as well as I do, when we were children, right. Our parents were very involved in our lives.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Ways.
Yeah, for different ways, but they were, whether me, male or female. My father died when I was very young yet,
yeah.
But my mother was always involved in our schooling, making sure everything got done and
yeah.
in our lives.
Yeah.
If we broke a rule, we had consequences.
That's what I'm saying. There's
you have to have consequences. That's why when my son was young, all of his buddies came to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why? They came to my house. I gave the rules. The rules got broken. There were consequences.
Oh, yeah.
And believe it or not, I've had them in their 20s and 30s when I see them on the streets. It's not that often because I don't live near there any longer. But when I get communication with them, it's like, you don't know how much I appreciated the boundaries you set for me because I didn't have boundaries anywhere else.
Right.
And
right.
That is what brings a new maturity
yes, it does.
To
yes,
the people.
It does. Yes, it does. And I... You know, even myself now, I can look back on my life and I can see where I said or thought to myself, I don't want to go this way again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go a different way. I want a different outcome for my life, you know.
Right.
And it's like, well, help me, Lord, to make this change. You know, a lot of people say that and a lot of people don't really even believe, but they'll say it because, like God said, I have shown myself to everybody.
Right.
You can say you don't believe in me or you don't believe I even existed or you don't trust in me. But when you're at a certain point in your life through experiences, you may say, even look up to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to supplications. Like we talked about supplications.
Yes.
You have to surrender.
Surrendering, yourself. That's
surrender
it.
Surrender that will that you have within yourself and take on God's will. Because, you know, even in communion, I had start to say, Lord, I give you my life. Just give me just a little piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, which will help change me.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Because sometimes you can go down that road so long and have the same experiences. And you can think that you're doing something different, but you're still doing the same thing.
Right, because your end result always turns out to be the
same.
That's right.
And you feel like you're in this circle and you can't get out of this circle.
Yeah.
It takes him to help us get out of that circle.
It does. And I'm hoping we get more cooperation within the state
I do too.
Prison system for the different ministries. We had many that were operating that are now cut back, some. Different reasons.
Right.
They're not all bad reasons. Many of them were necessary. Because, unfortunately, even good people can make bad mistakes.
Right.
And you have to be very careful of upholding the law when you are going in to minister.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot break the law. As
right.
much as you like these guys and you want to say, you poor baby, I'm so sorry this happened to you, you cannot say, oh, well, let me call your mama. Oh, let me take a message out. Let me do this. You cannot do that. They can help ask you for help all they want, but you best not take that step past the door.
Right.
The only help I have to offer them is the word of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus.
And that's because the best gift you can offer anyone.
That's right. And my guys that come in to see me, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that's
right.
I'm going to be strict with them. You know, I'm classified as Mother Harrington mm-hmm. while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful to me because that... with many of the men, brings a distinction of respect.
Yes.
Now, yes. Not all feel that way.
True.
But for the most part, that's how the men that I'm dealing with are looking at that title.
Right.
I believe it's a higher title than just calling me Miss Minister Harrington. And I believe actually it's higher than the title of Chaplain Harrington.
Yes, yes.
You know, I am very proud to have them call me Mom or Mother.
That's an honor. Yes, it is.
And I always wanted many children, so the God eventually gave me more.
Yes.
You know, that's the way I look at it. Yes. But, you know, it's a responsibility to give them the proper information and to share my heart with them. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of stuff that my pastor shares with us that just, like, rings bells for me of things I've spoken
right.
of in the
you
past
have to share with someone
and
else.
And new yeah. ways mm-hmm. Of sharing things that I've shared in the past. So then I take those ringing bells and I rework them and take them in
right.
because he has such wisdom to help expand my wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much younger he is than I am. He's got what it takes.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Yeah, you know, everyone has their position in Christ. We
yeah.
all share the same position, just like you, your prison ministry. I wasn't called to that, but you and your husband were called to that. Minister Rowan, he's an excellent pastor, and God
yes.
has called him to what he's doing, and he's doing a good job, and I really appreciate him and his wife and their ministry.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I
beautiful.
Enjoy worshiping there with my daughter. You know, I support mm-hmm. her there sometimes, and I wish that I could take full advantage of this course, this new course that he's presenting to his
people. Yes, yes.
Who wants to be involved in that. And it's like you say, when and if this goes and catches a hold with everyone, this prison reform,
mm-hmm.
and looking at people and who they are and where they are in their lives, just like they're always hiring.
Yes.
They don't even have people to fill these positions that will go to work on time.
Come on.
Work the entire day.
That's right.
Work the entire week.
Are trained. Can't read. Can't
all
write.
That, all that.
Can't stay
all
away
that.
From their drugs.
Right. All that.
Mm-hmm.
All that. They're finding people OD on the job.
Right.
You know, so we have to come up with a solution. And I had a guest on yesterday from Marion Tech.
Okay.
And they say they also have classes that
yes,
they
do
out there. And she said she likes to evaluate people or start with a person right here.
Mm-hmm.
What are they good? What are you good at? Where's your passion yeah. in life?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
let's start there.
Well, I think that's the newest catchword that God's using. Your passion or your vision
yes.
for your life.
Yes.
Because man's ways, this is the way I'm looking at it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Man's ways got us to look at, oh, me.
Right, right.
And the Lord, by turning it and going, say, what's the vision I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of your life?
Right.
Then you're beginning to go, oh, well, me has to go somewhere. And yeah, so we need to get our eyes on Jesus and that
yes.
concentration to
right.
him so that he can learn to listen and hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And once we can hear him and sit quietly in supplication, which means just chilling out,
right, chilling
laying
out.
With him,
yes.
just listening for him for a few minutes. No music, no TV, no noise,
yes.
just you and him.
Yes.
Hard to do, flesh, very hard to do.
Mm.
But once you start doing that,
yes, practice,
then you just begin to feel his presence.
Yes.
I'm sitting here right now,
his voice.
And I am right now literally feeling a presence fall on me.
Mm-hmm.
I can literally feel him because he knows how much I desire to have those guys feel this.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I desire for all people to know him
mm-hmm.
so intimately.
Yes.
But it's not the fact that it's my desire.
It's his desire. That they may know him.
And that's right.
His might.
That's right.
Not our might, his might.
And once you get that high of being under his power,
yes.
there is nothing that's going to compare to it.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Mm-mm. Can't compare.
Can't compare.
Can't compare. No, you
nope.
just cannot.
Mm-mm.
You just cannot. And my heart is for people. Now, Christ came to set the captives free.
That's right.
And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
And like you said, find out your vision. Where's my vision? Where's my passion? What do I really like to do? Yes, you want to get out, and we want you out, but we want you to stay out.
Right. That's the whole point. No more revolving door. But, you know, let's remember, the Lord can set you free
wherever
you are.
Yes.
So I often tell the fellas, you have to realize once you are spiritually set free, you still have to follow the rules.
Yes, you can't allow yourself, to go back.
Yes.
And
that is so extremely important for them. So extremely important for them. And because otherwise they feel like everybody does when you get put in a room, okay, and you're not allowed to leave.
Right.
Even when you're in the hospital, you begin to get that feeling of I'm captive in the hospital. I can't leave. I can't leave. People in nursing homes, I can't leave. I'm captive.
Mm-hmm.
Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So you have to have
a
mind and body and soul and spirit experience to feel what is really true freedom. We're free out here in the world, or as far as the world is concerned, we're free.
Right.
But we have all the debt accumulation. We have to pay to be able to live. We have to be able to breathe the air. We have to be able to take care of this or take care of that, do this or do that. You have to be able to buy your clothes. You know, you're really not free.
No.
You're really not free out in the world.
You have to answer to somebody.
That's right.
We have to always do that.
And when they get out, they got to realize they're going to still answer to somebody.
Rules. That's right. They have rules to follow.
Yeah.
Follow the rules of the land.
So it's important, because sometimes people will take a scripture, such as, you know, you're free indeed, and they want to make that, okay, well, I should be free.
Yeah, like
well,
God is
no.
love, right?
You know, yeah, God is love. He loves you tremendously, and he wants to see you free, but he wants to see you righteous, and his blood does make you righteous by his grace, but you got to earn it. You can't be righteous and turn around and sin, because you're going to pay for that later, you know?
Right, at least you know.
There's still going to be that.
Always there, you know,
yeah, you always have repentance, but let's get one thing that we know, and that is, at the end time, there's still a judgment.
Oh, yeah.
And just because the Lord is going to stand before you doesn't mean you're not going to have to answer for what you did.
Oh, well, I thought that's why he died, though. Really.
He did, but that doesn't mean that you may not be brought in front of the Father. And then as the Father brings these things forth and you begin to explain, well, I know I did this and I apologize, but I have Jesus. And then Jesus steps up and
covered.
Says, I cover these sins, Father. I cover them. But still, the scripture does say there will be a judgment day of the good and the bad. That's right. That's right. So that's the part I try to help people understand. You can't put it under a rug.
Oh, no.
It's already known. So before you do it, think before you act.
That's true.
Think before you act.
1 John 1:8.
Right.
If we confess our sins. 1:9.
Yeah.
He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is God's might.
That is his ability.
Might.
That's right.
He can do those things for us and give us a brand new start that man cannot give us.
That's right. That's right.
He said, don't put your trust in man. Don't even put your trust in princes. Put your trust in me. I open doors no man can close, and I close doors
that no man can
open.
That's right.
You know, so that's where our trust should be. But we're going to do some more shows on this prison reform, and this is just really powerful, and I hope that more people in government, in the right positions, and people like yourself and me can hold some type of commitment or fire to the action that's going on, that we can see some changes from sentencing.
I will say, not only sentencing, but one of those pages I kept out had to do with the shackling of the pregnant moms in the women's institutions.
Oh, wow.
I never realized they were fully shackled when they're moved.
I didn't know. Yeah.
And so I was very happy to hear that they are looking at that. And I actually had a deep discussion with a CO because they said, well, that's ridiculous because you still have to have the protection. I said, no, you have to protect that baby first.
You think so.
You know, and so I'm not quite sure what those shackles look like for them, but that would be an interesting thing to try to find out about what type of shackles they use on them.
Believe it or not, Marie, we are out of time. I truly have enjoyed our time together.
I know, it flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And thank you for coming once again. And I'll be having you on soon so we can go through some more of these.
Okay.
I'm so about getting the word out and doing all that I can to help.
I know you are, Linda. I know you are. And the guys appreciate you. They do listen to you.
We're great.
So, by the way, guys, hi. I forgot to tell you last night I was going to be here, but hi.
I'm glad they do listen. It's so important,
yes,
you know, that we make this step forward and that the people who are in these positions can work with us to make this happen.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous. As I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything. Which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway,
to the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
To the star of Soap and Benson, Robert Guillaume.
When you first got that pilot script, and you looked at Benson. Now, he was a housekeeper, but mm-hmm. Who was he to you?
Well, he was my grandmother, for one thing. My grandmother had worked in white people's houses, and she had always seemed disrespectful. She would come in and she would do the laundry. And after she had put the laundry and arranged it the way she wanted, the woman who owned the house and for whom she worked would come along and rearrange things, and my grandmother would stand to the side while she, with a drink in her hand, did as much as she could to undo what my grandmother did. My grandmother didn't get angry at her. She just abided her, and just we would stand there and watch the woman do what she wanted to with the laundry. And when she finished, my grandmother would say, "Are you through now?" And the woman would sale. Well, of course. And but my grandmother never got flustered about anything. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman and a great teacher to me.